Come on, how are we doing this morning? Happy New Year. I heard a couple of you. You guys awake? Happy New Year. There it is. There it is. I know many of you were watching the ball drop in Times Square, but I was watching the Ohio State ball drop to the left of the uprights, rooting for my Bulldogs yesterday. So I don't know if you're a Bulldog fan, if there's any Bulldogs fans in the house, probably not, but there's one. I am one, and if you don't know me, my name's Kevin Broom. I'm a part of the leadership team here at Bridge City Church, and I'm excited to bring the Word of God this morning. I want to first and foremost, though, draw attention to someone who's not here today, and that's Pastor Nick. And Pastor Nick is still battling with an infection, and last night we got a message that his foot was swollen again, and he had a fever, and so we wanted to just first share that with all of you that weren't a part of the New Year's Eve experience last night and didn't already hear this, just so you're aware, so you can be praying. And we're going to pray for him this morning. And I would just want to share a story that just really, touched me this morning. I shared this for the first experience, but when we got here early this morning, and we were preparing, and we were going through practice and everything that we do on a Sunday morning, Rachel came in. She came in a few minutes late because she was dropping Pastor Nick off at the hospital this morning. And I was standing right up here, and Jordan, her brother who led us in worship this morning, said, "Hey, are you sure you're good?" And she said, "No, I want to. I need to. This is what I'm supposed to do. I want to sing." And I just pray that all of our faith could be stretched and grown from that example this morning. Amen. Because here's a woman who's been by her husband's side for almost 4 years as he's gone through this struggle. And it's not easy. And so I just want to take a moment today to just pray in agreement for his healing, that this be done, that it be finished. So let's pray together. So, Father God, thank you so much, God, for who you are, that we can trust you, that we put our trust in you, God. We put our faith in you. We cry out to you this morning like a child cries out to their father. And we say, God, we need you to move in this circumstance, God. God, we're calling on you to heal this man. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, God. By your stripes, we are healed. And so this morning, we declare it in faith that we're going to see Pastor Nick walk out everything that you've called him to walk out. That he's going to continue to love this community with everything that you have given him, with everything that he has. That nothing will set him back in 2023. That he will be free and these chains will be broken over this family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, I couldn't be more excited to kick off 2023 with you guys. This was planned. I'm not pinch hitting. This was planned. And I'm really, really excited that that God has a word for you this morning. Listen, this is a practical message today. What's that mean, Kevin? That means that I'm going to share some relational stuff, sure. But this is stuff for you to grab your notebook and a pen and start taking notes and start writing things down. Because this message isn't just for now until 12:15 when we wrap up and you can tuck it away and be done. No, this message is for your Monday and your Saturday, through your Saturday. That you're going to grab hold of it. And you're going to do it, and you're going to practice it. So what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about evaluating our 2022 and launching into our 2023. But first, I just want to share a fun story with you. My son has fallen in love with Lego. I'm sure there are Lego fans in the house. There's at least one. But I would be lying to you if I did not say that I was also a very large fan of Lego and have my own collection that he's not allowed to touch yet because he's still five and bad things happen to five-year-olds and Legos. And so we're dodging, you know, Legos on the ground. We're making sure we're not stepping on them. We're like doing all those fun things because Legos are everywhere in our house right now. He got a couple sets for Christmas. I thought he was sitting up here. He was up here during the first. I just looked for him, but he's not here. So he was, you know, he got a couple sets for Christmas. I got a couple sets for Christmas. We spent the last week building together. And who knows that God can speak to you in anything that you're doing, that everything that we do is spiritual. And I'm building Legos. I'm trying not to get frustrated with these stupid instructions, right? And God speaks to me. You know, before I share that, I thought to myself, man, like, who's this company? Like, what's this company even about? So I looked up some stuff about Lego. You know, Lego has made 600 billion bricks since 1932. That's insane. That they're the largest manufacturer of tires in the world. Would that have been I would a Goodyear, maybe Lego? But for all those little cars that they make? The Lego Group actually became the most powerful and recognized brand in 2012, surpassing Apple and Google around the world. To me, that's impressive. Maybe you don't care about Lego, but for me, I thought that was pretty cool. But what God shared with me as I was building during that week from Christmas to New Year's this past week is we're building with my son, I'm building together with him and then making sure he doesn't touch my stuff, you know, because I display my stuff and I don't want it to be wrong, is that I learned that God can use anything to speak to us. And that sometimes when you're building these really complicated sets, you know, like I may be the same size as a 14-year-old, but I'm much, much older than that. And there's complicated sets that say like 14 plus on the box. Like there's a lot of pieces that go into these. And the instruction manuals like are hundreds of pages long sometimes. And so you're building, and you put a piece in a wrong place, but you don't know it yet, and you get 10 pages down the road, and you realize, oh, that piece wasn't right. And you gotta undo all of what you've done to make sure that that one piece is okay. Now, if you're 5, that's not a problem. You're just skipping right over that piece, and you don't even know like why it doesn't look right. It doesn't matter, because you're gonna throw it halfway across the room in 10 minutes anyway. But like for me, like I said, like I wanna make sure that my Star Wars ship is properly sitting on my shelf and it looks good because I'm strange. But if that piece is misaligned, then the whole thing's not going to work right. And what God shared with me is that we need to stop sometimes. We need to pause. We need to read our instruction manual for those that don't know what I'm talking about. And we need to make sure that we're putting the pieces in the right places. The pieces that he's given us so that we can fulfill the things that he's called us to fulfill. The things that he's given us to do. The purposes in our lives, if you will. So to me, that was earth-shattering. I thought to myself, wow, like God can speak through Lego. Man, he can talk through anything. And so this morning, I really want to encourage you, you know, Pastor Rob touched on this, and Pastor Rick touched on this last night. If you were at the baptisms and the worship experience last night, man, how many of y'all had a good time last night? I enjoyed that. There was a lot of, like, my friend Carl back here was baptized. There was a lot of folks that were baptized last night from White Oak. What an amazing experience. But Pastor Rick took some time to share 3 points, and I'm actually going to share the same 3 points. So if you're there, you get to hear it twice, and maybe you need to hear it twice. I did. I've heard it a couple different times this week as I've gone through it. But what he really focused on is that we need to be able to let go of some old things, and then we need to evaluate some things, and then we need to take some steps to walk out some new things in our lives. And so the first thing he shared with us last night was that we need to let go of some old histories. How many of you guys have old history in your life? You know, when I came to Bridge City Church, I was holding on to some old stuff. And one day, Pastor Nick sat me down. And he said, hey, Kev, Like, I see you in a leadership role. I see great things for your life. But I also see that you're holding on to some old stuff. We gotta set you free from that old stuff. And this is a great opportunity to shameless plug Victory and Freedom. Amen. But what a great place coming up in February where you can lay down some old stuff. We need to lay down some old history. Isaiah 43:18 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wastelands." So just to break that down for us, we got to lay down the old stuff. That's pretty easy to understand. Do not dwell in the past. That's pretty clear. I am doing a new thing. We got to be able to make it to the new thing. We can't make it to the new thing if we're holding on to the old thing. So we got to lay down the old thing so he can do a new thing. And then we need to open our eyes to be able to perceive what he's doing. So we got to be able to recognize that, to be able to see things in the spiritual. We got to lay down some old hurts. You know, 2022 was a good year in many ways. But it was hard in some ways. There was a lot of tough moments. There were tough moments in this church, in this campus. Hard moments. Really hard moments. Heartache. Stuff that's not easy to talk about. But God. We need to be able to lay down some of those things. Now, hear my heart. I'm not saying we forget things. But it's impossible for us to move forward if we're staying stuck in the hurts of the past. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." What's it mean to be reconciled? To be made peaceful, to have harmony, to have a clean slate. We got to be able to lay down some old habits. I don't know about you, but this one stung a little bit because I got some old stuff I need to get rid of. I need to lay down some stuff. In 2022, those of you that have known me for more than a minute know that I'm a big video gamer. Was. I loved video games. You could find me playing video games every day of the week with John Rachel till midnight. Sorry to call you out, John. But I was awakened in the early months of 2022. Like, hey, I need to, like, I don't want to say grow up because I think that there's a ministry opportunity in video games and a lot of people don't see that and it's a bad cliche. But I needed to do some things a little bit differently. And I needed to rearrange some priorities in my life. And I'm just encouraging you this morning. We're going to talk about some very practical ways to review your 2022 so that maybe your eyes are open to see that God wants to do a new thing in you if you're willing to lay down the old thing that's happened to you. So I'll just share the verse out of Isaiah 58:6. And Pastor Rick shared this last night as well, but "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke?" To loose the chains of injustice. To break our chains and to break every yoke. That's what God's calling us to do. To lay down some old stuff. Give it to him. Allow him to break it in your life. In fact, that same verse mentions fasting. Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? At Bridge City Church, we don't ever give you a message without a way to walk it out. And every year, at the beginning of every single year, we have a time of prayer and fasting where we give God our first. And this year is no different. On the 14th, we'll kick off a week of prayer and fasting where we can lay down food. I love to eat. I love a good steak and a baked potato. I'm open for lunch. But sometimes we need to take those distractions in our life, and yes, food can be a distraction in your life. We need to lay those things down, and we need to say, God, whatever time that I would normally take to eat this meal, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to seek you in prayer. I'm going to draw close to you. And God, I'm praying that you're going to do a new thing in me, and I'm going to lay down the old. This is your time. You've got 2 weeks to prep for it. Also, on the 14th, we're going to kick off this time with a power conference, a time for us to get filled with the Holy Spirit. How many knows that Jesus can fill us with everything that we need for that next week and for any other week after that? And this is what we're going to do. We're going to get together from 9 until 1 p.m. And my friend Sarah over here is super excited that we're fasting and she has to prepare no food for you guys in this event. Right, Sarah? Because guess what? We're fasting. So there's not going to be any food. So you got to do something new. You got to step out and go to something where they're not going to feed you physically. They're going to feed you spiritually. So make sure you put that on your calendar. The 14th at North Braddock from 9 until 1. And I love this quote that kind of ties all this together by Pastor Chris Hodges. It says, I can't go back to change the beginning, but I can start where I am and change the ending. There's a lot of things that we can't change about 2022 or years prior. But there's a lot of things that we can do in faith for 2023 through what God has for us that can change the way we end things. So how do we evaluate our 2022? How many have heard experience is the best teacher? One person. Nobody else has heard that quote? I work in the corporate world. I hear stuff like this all the time, all these little like one-liners that they drop you to try to motivate you to work harder and do more things, right? Like you're a great worker. You're going to do fantastic things because of everything that you've learned and blah, 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 and go get them, tiger. I don't know. Some of that stuff doesn't really work for me all the time, but sometimes it does. I get motivated by stuff like that sometimes. But I want to challenge your way of thinking this morning. Experience isn't the best teacher. John Maxwell says, evaluated experience is the best teacher. I know some experienced people who haven't got it all together. But when we take time to evaluate the things that we've done, the mistakes that we've made, then we can take that evaluated experience and grow from it. There's actually a story that I want to share with you. There's a person, a pretty famous person. You're going to know his name when I tell you at the end. This person was known for his ability to think creatively, to challenge the status quo. He attributed most of his success to his willingness to learn from his mistakes and failures. He believed that failure was an important part of the learning process. And he used his experience to continually improve and innovate up until the date that he passed away in 2011. His company now, as of 2021, is the wealthiest company in the world. Anybody want to take a guess? Steve Jobs. I heard the whispers. Steve Jobs. Apple is now the most wealthiest company in the world. Because Steve was willing to learn from his mistakes. You know, Apple almost went bankrupt in the early 80s. And all you Android people would be, we'd all be carrying Androids if it wasn't from learning from our mistakes. But now we can pray for all you Android people that you'll come on the other side and lay down the things of the past and pick up. I'm just kidding. So how do we do that? How do we evaluate the year? So I'm going to give you some things. And if you've been around Bridge City Church for more than a minute, you've heard these things. We call them RPMs around here. But I'm going to take the RPMs and I'm going to break them down a little bit. The first one is relationships. So we need to evaluate our relationships. How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with your spouse? How's your relationship with your family? I shared this during the first. I'll be vulnerable for a second. Sometimes we think about our families as our kids or our whole family, wife included, or husband if you're a girl. And we think about them as a whole. And we think, oh, I'm going to spend more time with my family in 2023. Great. But what we fail to realize sometimes is that our kids need individual attention as well. And this one spoke to me. Because right now, like my son and I are just kind of connecting. We're driving. We're doing Legos all the time. But I look over my shoulder and my daughter's sitting back on her phone. I have to be more aware. I have to schedule those daddy-daughter dates we used to take years ago. I have to be purposeful in my relationship with my daughter. She's 14. She doesn't like to hang out with dad all the time. But I got to be better at doing something that she likes to do so that we can connect together, so that our relationship can stay strong. That's just me. You need to evaluate your family time. How's your relationship with your friends? A lot of times, again, like myself, I'm a social guy. I love to spend time with people. In any circumstance, we can be going to dinner with a couple, and next thing you know, there's 15 people there because I've invited everybody that I can invite to Plaza Azteca after church on Sunday. And Kim's like, I thought we were going to dinner with da-da-da. And I'm like, well, it grew. I love people, and I want to spend time with people, and that's a good thing. But we need to evaluate it in two different ways. We need to evaluate, am I spending too much time with my friends? Am I prioritizing my friends over my relationship with God, over my spouse, over my family? Or am I neglecting my friends? Am I not spending enough time with people? Maybe you're like my wonderful introvert wife and you would rather sit at home, but she recognizes the importance of building relationships with others, and she willingly and sometimes even goes out of her way to invite people herself, and I had nothing to do with it, believe it or not. And we go to dinner with folks. We need that in our lives. We need friends in our lives to speak to us, to encourage us, to lift us up, and we need to do that for them. How's your relationship with your work, your office time? Since COVID, a lot of us got sent home from work, and some of us never went back to the office. We stayed at home, and we kept working from home in our offices by ourselves with no connections with people. I want to encourage you this morning that going to the office is a good thing, believe it or not. That's a ministry field for you. That's where you get to meet new people maybe. Invite them to come alongside of you, to come to church with you, to be a part of what God's doing. Or maybe you're spending too much time at the office. You're not spending enough time with a family. Nobody ever said on their deathbed, man, I wish I'd spent more time at the office. But if you're not giving work your best as God has called you to do, that's a problem too. So what's the next section we're going to talk about? Physical health. This one's easy for January 1st of any year because everybody sets these new goals and they got the gym membership and the heaviest weight at the gym is the front door. And they're working their way in. And it's going to be great. I'm going to lose weight in 2023. Yay. But I want to be serious about this. Because your body is a temple. And God has a purpose for your life. And you do need to steward the things that he's given to you. So you do need to sleep well. Believe it or not, you need more than 4 hours of sleep a night. I know that all of you had 4 hours of sleep, maybe six last night, but most nights of the week, we need more than 4 hours of sleep. We need to eat better. I love chips with all of the rest of you, but I don't need to eat them by the bag every time I sit down on the couch to watch a show. I don't need to eat a whole tin of the blue tin of Christmas Danish cookies. But man, they're so good. And don't buy the off-brand. It's just not the same. We need to do things like exercise. In 2022, this was something God spoke to me last year, and I did some new things. For 39 years of my life, I never exercised. But I decided last year I was going to jump in because I needed to make a change in my life. And I did. And I lost a lot of weight. And then Thanksgiving happened and Christmas, and I gained a lot of weight back. But if that's something that's important to you, let me rephrase. If it's not, it should be something that's important to you. And there are people in this room that go to the gym so many times, I don't even know how they make an income. I can connect you with these people, and we can get you on a plan. But don't neglect those things. Don't think to yourself, oh, this is everybody's new goal for the new year. No, make it your goal too, along with the rest of what we're going to talk about today. What's the next one? Mental. Boy, Kev, you're talking about mental. Why is the first thing on your list social media? Because social media has the biggest impact on your mental and emotional health than probably anything else that you do. I am preaching to myself. We need to evaluate the amount of time we spend on Facebook, Instagram. I know you hear it all the time. We need to change this. You need to evaluate this. You need to put down your phone. Please, guys. Even the world tells us, Apple tells us every single week what our weekly phone time was. Even the world tells us that we have a problem with how much time we spend on these little personal computers that we carry around with us everywhere. Just evaluate it. What's right for you? How much time do you need to cut out so that you can make sure that you're walking out the things that God has for you and that your mind is in a good spot, that you're not always thinking, well, I don't have those shoes. I want those. I'm not at the beach. I want to be at the beach. Like, I didn't get a new car this year. I want to go buy a new car. Stop letting these thoughts pollute your mind.
Right. Amen.
Because that's what they do. Yep. Whether you recognize it or not. How's your attitude? When you're driving down 48 and the dude cuts you off and you're wearing a Bridge City hat and there's a Bridge City sticker on your car and you give him a finger and it's not a thumbs up. We got to evaluate things like that. Again, I'm talking to myself. It's one of my biggest weaknesses. Kim constantly, Kevin. I'm not shooting birds, but I'm definitely riding closer to the car in front of me than I should sometimes. We got to evaluate these things. We got to think about them. We got to put them at the top of our mind. We've got to stay razor sharp in the things that God has called us to do. Because you might pull into the gas station with the same guy and park right next to him. And he can get out of that car and he can be screaming and yelling at you. Or he can think nothing of it because he didn't realize he made a mistake and you can maybe minister to him. We got to think about those things when we go out to eat and it takes the waitress 10 years to bring your drinks. What are you mad about? You're going to get your water. You're going to get your dinner rolls from Texas Roadhouse. I know how bad you want them. I want them right now. Be patient. Watch your attitude. How about your creative life? There's literally guys in the room that hear creative life and they think, what's my next YouTube video going to be? Because they're professionals. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about your dreams, your hopes, the visions that God's put in your life for the future. Are we praying for those things? Are we taking steps and walking those things out? Believing, like Pastor Rick said, in faith for double? I hope you're writing this stuff down, guys. Because these are the things that we need to go back and review for 2022. How's your finances? How's your money? You knew I was going to talk about it, right? Got to evaluate your money at the beginning of every year, right? I challenge you to do it every 2 weeks, every month. Sit down with your wife, your spouse. Review your finances. Make it fun. Bring snacks. Do something different so that it's not such a chore. But review your finances and make sure that your order is like the order on the screen behind me and not like the reverse, which is what the world tells us. That you spend your money first and you save second so you can take care of you. And then you give with what's left over. That's not biblical. The Bible tells us to give first what we have received and then take care of everything else. We have resources at Bridge City Church for you in this area. That means you got to lay down some old things and you got to take some steps that are uncomfortable and you got to call Matt Klingensmith and say, help me out. I gave it to Rob the first time, so I figured I'd give it to you this time. He will take it, and he'll help you. What's the last one we need to do? Spiritual. How do we evaluate our spiritual life? Well, I'm coming to church, Kev. I'm doing good. That's great. I'm proud of you. But God has a wonderful plan for your life, right, Matt? And he's going to do more for you if you're willing to receive it. There's a guy I follow on Instagram that I'm a part of a seminary, and he actually launched it a couple years back. And he's a pretty cool guy. I'm not going to drop his name, but if you want to know, you can ask me afterwards. But he put out a challenge for 2023. And he said, I am going to read the Bible in 30 days, the whole thing. And he shared this challenge, and he shared a Bible app, devotional thing that you can go through and walk through. And I saw it, and I thought to myself, wow, that sounds really cool. Like, that'd be neat to do. Could I do that? Like, you know, I'm going to sign up for this. I'm going to give it a shot. I will be honest with you. I read more books in 2022 than I've read probably in my entire life. I've never been a reader, but God did some things in me last year, and he's encouraged me. And I think the number's close to 50 books that I read last year. And I've become this lover of reading. And I don't even know who I am anymore. I worked out, I laid down video games, and I picked up reading. I don't need applause. It's just crazy what God can do with anyone. But I think I'm going to give this a shot. Starts today. It's going to take 2 hours every day. But guess what? If I lay down Facebook, which I'm on an average of like 1.5 hours a day, believe it or not, I got some time. We can make time for the things that are important to us if we put our priorities in the right place. I'm going to give a shot. I might not make it. So if you come up to me February 1st and you say, Kev, did you make it? No, I'm going to stretch it to 60 days, but I'm going to be good. No, I'm not making excuses already. I'm believing I'm going to do it. Now, that's not my challenge for you. Maybe your challenge is to read the Bible in a year. Maybe you've never done that before. But I'm challenging you to do something different. Change it up. This 2 hours a day of Bible reading isn't so that I can study the hermeneutical Greek words of every single scripture that I'm learning or reading and cross-reference everything and study it. No, this is a high-level overview. I need to get the gist of what it means, right? That's all this is for. Maybe you need to go deeper. Maybe you need a hermeneutical study that you need to do. Maybe you don't even know what hermeneutics means. That's okay. But do something different this year. Prayer time, that's one that hits me personally. It's a goal for this year for me. I spend a lot of time in the Word, but we all know, like I just said, that we can all spend more. But my focus and my goal this year is to spend more time in prayer. Alone. I'm okay at praying at church. I'm okay at praying at connection group. I'm okay at praying with my wife. I'm okay with praying with my kids. I need to spend more time in prayer by myself. Just me and God. Just like Jesus modeled in the Bible. When he went away from the disciples and he spent time with his Father. I need that. We need that. How's your prayer life? My personal favorite, because I am the A-team coordinator at Bridge City Church, and I'm thankful for every single person who serves on a team here, is your serving, your ministry life. How's your ministry life? Kev, I'm not in ministry. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're in ministry. What does ministry mean? It's just serving people, just taking care, just loving people. That's all it is. If you are not a part of a team at Bridge City Church, get to Next Steps next Sunday. Start the process. Find out the gifts that God has for you, that he's put inside of you. All of us have gifts. Anybody can park a car. Okay. Most people can park a car. Anybody can move a chair. Like, we all have some things that we can do. Some of us are going to do way more than that. Some of us are going to start moving chairs. That's where I started. 20-some-odd years ago, started moving chairs, cleaning toilets. We have to start, though. We have to be willing to jump in and do our piece. Many of you don't know this, but this morning I looked at Planning Center. If you don't know what Planning Center is, I can educate you later. Planning Center is something we use every single Sunday to help us schedule teams and people who are getting that are going to work on Sunday morning. I almost said plugged in, and that's a bad word around here. There are 62 people on a Sunday morning that it takes to run the White Oak Worship Experiences, both of them. 62. I've been in this room when there hasn't been 62 people in the room. 62 people is a lot of people, but they can't do everything. So you have a place, whether you're visiting us from North Braddock today, I see a lot of North Braddock faces, or whether you're here at White Oak, we're one church. Jump in. Be a part. So those are the RPMs. Those are the things that we can work on. Relationships, physical, mental, money, spiritual. I hope that you guys wrote some of this stuff down, but I'm going to ask you 5 additional questions as we evaluate our 2022. What's my life's purpose? And Pastor Rick shared Proverbs 29:18 last night, which I love. And if you've been around here for a little bit, where there is no vision, people perish. If we don't know what our vision and our purpose is, we don't have any direction. And when we don't have any direction, we wander around lost and not knowing where to go. We got to make sure we understand what our life's purpose is. What am I doing to accomplish my purpose? Sometimes we know what our purpose is, but we sit on our hands and don't walk out the things that we need to do. Sometimes we do those things on Sunday morning, but not Monday through Saturday. When you have a life's purpose, everything that you do in life should be focused enough to walk out that purpose. Everything. If you're doing something in your life that doesn't walk out that purpose, then I'd encourage you that might be something you need to lay down. How am I doing? That's not a question for you to ask yourself. That's a question for you to take to those that you're in close relationship with. So Cheddar, how am I doing? He's going to give me feedback. Not right now, thankfully. But he's going to give me feedback, and he's going to tell me, hey, you're doing great in this area. Here's something I'd work on. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to punch him in the face because he told me. No, I'm just. No. We have relationship together. He has equity. I have equity with him, with, you know, him with me. What does that mean? That means he can speak to me directly and bluntly, and I'm not going to knock him out. I'm not going to leave offended. I'm not going to get in the car and call Kim. Can you believe what Jennifer said to me? I'm going to have a good attitude, and I'm going to receive what he said. And he would do the same for me. Now, there's people in this room that I don't know that well. Kip and I just barely know each other. If he said to me, hey, Kev, I'd change this about you, I probably wouldn't receive it as well. I love you, Kip, but I might not receive that as well. But I hope our relationship grows to where we get to that point. Ask the question is the key point here. Because most of us aren't willing to ask that question. Ask it to your spouse. That'll get you. And then be ready to receive it. What are my values? In our connection groups, if you've ever been a part of Kim and I's connection group, every single semester, I feel like we've done this every semester, we go over this with our connection group. It doesn't matter what topic we're talking about. We feel like that this is something that's really important in our lives. Pastor Nick actually instilled this in my life, and I thought it was really valuable that I'm going to share it this morning. And I'm going to read mine, not because I don't know them. I do. I read them every morning. But I'm going to read them so I make sure I get it right. But I think that this is something that you should do in your lives. I have five. I will serve the Lord with everything I have all the days of my life. I will give him the first of everything that I've received. Number two, I will provide my wife with spiritual leadership, guidance, encouragement, access, unwavering love, and priority in my life. That means I'm putting her second. Behind God. Not third after something else. I will raise my kids to love God and serve the kingdom of God, that it never becomes a chore and that they learn to empower others to do the same. I will prioritize relationships with others, that I will help others grow in their walk with Jesus. I will dedicate more time each day to learn and grow in my knowledge of God's word and my relationship with him. Those are mine. I give you those as an example. Sometimes they need changed. They need altered. Now's a good time to, if you already have those, now's a good time to review them. If you don't have those, now's a good time to write them. And then every morning when you wake up, pray these things. I promise you, you will see change in your life if you will set forth priorities and pray them over your life and begin to walk them out. So what's most important right now? What's one thing that if it got better in 2023 would make the biggest difference for you? What's one thing? Think about it. Write it down. I told you, my prayer life is mine. You know, I'll share another story here. Those of you that know me know I've been a diabetic for, it'll be 10 years this year. And what's the difference between me and you? Your pancreas works, mine's in my pocket. That was funny, guys. And so these little pancreases that I carry in my pocket cost a lot of money. I'm thankful for medical breakthroughs and all the things that have come, that I don't have to have huge, long syringes, and I can give myself insulin with my cell phone. It just shocks my brain. But I got an email at the end of November that said, hey, your pump's out of warranty. We think you should upgrade your pump and get a new pump, insulin pump. And so I looked at Kim and I said, okay, well, maybe we should do this. And we tried. And they said, well, your pump doesn't expire till the 27th of December. So you can't start the process until the 27th of December. And I said to them, well, okay, well, Kim said to them, she handles all this. She's amazing. She said to them, Well, we've met our deductible, and you know, we have my daughter's a diabetic too, and we have this really high deductible. Every year, it's like, I think it's $6,000 for our family. And usually we meet it real quick. It doesn't take long. But how many know that writing a $6,000 check the first week of January wasn't in the plans? Like, we weren't ready for that. And so we started to pray. And I just said, God, somehow I need you to align three medical companies that have to come together and fill out paperwork and send paperwork to each other and talk to people and check things and make sure that this is done and make sure that's done and check with the insurance company and align all this stuff so that we can get this thing ordered by the end of the year. I don't know how many medical things you guys deal with, but that's impossible. But God. It may seem like a small thing to you, but it was huge for us. I weep because she started crying. She said, Kev, I just got the email that UPS is delivering it on Wednesday. $6,000 may not seem like a lot of money to you. Maybe your finances are in order better than mine are. But that was impactful for us. And we know that God aligned that because there's no other way that it could have happened. Because we've ordered from these companies for 10 years. They don't do things like this. So something had to be different. So what do we do with what we've learned here today? Well, first and foremost, if you want something that you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, which is literally the reverse of what I just said. I believe God is going to do things in each one of your lives this year if you're willing to step out into something new. Our first step is we have to get closer to God. Go read James 4:8. Read it over and over and over again. Memorize it. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. Be honest with a friend. Be willing to have that hard conversation and ask how I'm doing. Discover your God-given purpose. Not your purpose in life to be an excellent contractor and do amazing things with buildings. Not your accountant work, not your insurance work, whatever it is you do. No, your God-given purpose. Maybe your God-given purpose is to be the light in the office while you're doing accounting. That's okay. Maybe your calling is to be the hands and feet of Jesus and build amazing houses and help people with construction. That's okay. That's great. Walk out what God has for you. But if you don't understand the purpose that God has for your life, you're just going to be a contractor. You're just going to be an accountant. You're just going to be a mortgage guy. Live your life for something that really matters. When you go to school, live your life for Christ. Be the example. When you go to work, be the example. When somebody takes me to Texas Roadhouse today, be the example. I'm just kidding. I'm probably not even open today. Be the example wherever you go. It sounds like so cliche. Oh, I've heard that before. Great, Kev, I'll go be the example. Please receive it. Please receive it. You are important to somebody's life. Somebody is watching you. You may be the only Jesus they see. You may be the only Bible they read. Until you grab them by the hand and introduce them to who he is and what he's done for you. So this morning we're going to wind things down here. But I'd be amiss if I didn't give an opportunity for you. That if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the forgiver of your past and the leader of your future, I can't think of a better day than January 1st to start fresh. So I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed, and we're going to pray. If that's you this morning, if you need a relationship with Jesus, just raise your hand right now, and somebody's going to come alongside of you, and they're going to pray with you. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let anything stop you from what God has for you in 2023. Let's pray, church. Father God, thank you so much for everything that you spoke here today, God. God, I pray that we would lay down some old things today. That we'd evaluate our lives today. God, I pray that you would launch us into 2023. With a deeper and stronger faith than we've ever had before. God, that you would do a new thing this year. God, I pray for encouragement over each and every person that was here. I pray for a blessing in their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray.